You're listening to the New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planning. If you're looking to take your next strategic step towards multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com has a new look, a new host, and new resources. Take a minute and check out the Church Planning Masterclass with lessons from leaders like Matt Chandler, D.A. Horton, Trillia Newbell, and more at newchurches.com.
It's Stetzer here for another episode of the newchurches.com podcast. We've been continuing a legacy that goes back hundreds of episodes, trying to address issues of concern, questions that you might have about church planning. Thrilled to continue our conversation today. We're going to talk some about residency today. Now, residencies. Now, I want to encourage you that you might at this point say, well, that's not my thing. I'm not going to do that. So maybe I'll skip this episode, which we're not offending you to skip an episode. Just come back in the next one. But I think actually, you need to probably be aware of a growing trend that where churches are kind of adopting a strategy to raise up church planters from within, or sometimes they kind of become within, right? So they might come from the outside, maybe do a 2-year residency, and then go out and plant churches. We've seen this in multiple denominations emphasizing this. Hit the Wheaton College Billy Graham Center. We have a partnership with Converge, assisting with some of their residencies. I've consulted with different denominations to do so. Our guest today is Dahadi Lewis. Dahadi is he has been the lead pastor of Blueprint Church in Atlanta, recently served as president of the Send Network, and got his master's degree from Dallas, doctorate from Southeastern. He is author of several books, including Among Wolves, Disciple Making in the City. But what I wanted to jump in and talk with Dahadi about is he early on did something that is kind of unusual to do early on, to be very honest. He started a residency at Blueprint, the name of the church, Blueprint Church, early on. And I want to just jump in. Tell us about your approach to residency and some of the fruit you've seen from it.
Yeah. But first, let me start with a little pushback from you, Ed. You know,
yep. Please just bring it on.
Just you know, one of the things that I would recommend that your listeners, that this is very important, right? This idea of residency, and that this wouldn't be an episode out of all episodes that you wouldn't skip.
Because I think I was telling them not to skip.
No, that's not what I got. I felt like, you know, if you're going to skip because you hear residency, then I'm not doing this. No. And I just think that it's more so framing and logic. Because when we think about the idea, when Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, pray to the Lord of the harvest for more laborers for the harvest. I think this is what we're talking about. We're talking about not like getting our congregations to shift from passive attenders to active people, you know, and so regardless of if they call themselves church planters. So at our church, we say every covenant member is either a co-vocational church planter or a co-vocational church planting team member. Right. And so we see our people in that, and in a sense that it is our responsibility to raise up.
Wow. I feel rebuked and I receive it. I receive it because I think you have persuaded me. So you better not turn off this podcast. I love that. All right. So agreeing, and we need more, not less of this emphasis. What did it look like at Blueprint Church when you started this residency?
Well, for us, it was like I knew that there was a group of guys that wanted to plant churches, you know, from the time, and you know, they were people who came to know the Lord in our ministry, you know, and for us, we came to, you know, we started out of a college ministry and we shifted to in January of 2010. It was a group of 40 people from that moved from Denton, Texas to Atlanta, Georgia to start Blueprint Church. And we started Blueprint Church with a desire that we were going to be a church that's planting other churches, right? And we wanted to be a blueprint. So we knew that was going to take place. And so we had a group of people, you know, a couple of guys that I knew that they were going to be pastors. They were going to be, you know, people who were going to be eventually sent out. But at the same time, I also knew that they were, we didn't necessarily have a timeline per se. And so again, what we did was we started doing different things. And so we had like all the way from an internship to an apprentice and from apprentice to a residency. Really it was a leadership pipeline that we had within, you know, in there, because we didn't know exactly, you know, we were going to be sending this person there and all of that. And I think that that's oftentimes, you know, we get too caught up in the where. You know, a good friend of mine, Clinton Clifton, who's a pastor in the DC area, always says that we need to train the qualified, right? And let God deal with the calling, right? And I think oftentimes we focus in on the calling, right? But if you train everybody who's biblically qualified in your church, then God, and then you just, you know, spread the aroma of the nations or the nation or different cities, people are going, God is going to be like matchmaker, and he's going to match up people's call to the burden and the cry out to the city. And, you know, and I think for us, we just always said that we want it to be an answer to the prayer of Matthew 9:38, where it says the harvest is plentiful, laborers are few, pray for more laborers. It's like, we want it to be an answer to that prayer. So we early on put in systems, and early on, again, it wasn't technical. It was just simply, hey, just come live in my house. Come see what I do. You know,
okay, that's let's what, go that's through this curriculum. I want to come back on that, because I mean, I'm loving the reasons for it. But you had people living at your house,
yeah.
Which, as you know, we learned in listening to the Rise and Fall of Mars Hill podcast, that you shouldn't live in the pastor's basement. That seems to not end well for everybody who lives in the pastor's basement. So what is, I mean, so it's not super organized at the beginning. People are living in your house. Are you meeting with them weekly? Are you having meals with them daily? I mean, help me, give us more. What does this look like, the practical?
Well, you know, before we even left, you know, 35 out of the 40 people who moved with us moved with us, the Plant Blueprint Church, lived in our home. So we already had that practice of people living in our homes. And so that was one of the things. And so what we would do, the people living in our home would come in for, you know, months at a time. But those people we would go and we would teach them how to be leaders, right? We would teach them how to have a greater devotion life, how to teach devotions, like how to do, and it would be an invite only. And so we're saying, you guys are our next small group leaders. You guys are our next. And so we would cast that vision to saying, we are coming here, but we're coming with an expectation. So very similarly to in Jesus's call, he says, hey, come and follow me and you will become fishers of men. So we were beginning with the end in mind. So it wasn't just kind of just discipleship. It was training. It was discipleship, but it was discipleship with a very specific and targeted goal and destination of where we're going. Like, I'm not spending our time just for us to say that we've discipled people and we don't know. And basically we put it up on a higher bar, you know? And so these people became our small group leaders. And once they became small group leaders, then they were the ones who became ministry leaders. And then they became ministry leaders, became Titus 2 women and elders. And then once they become elders and we sent them out as church planters, right? And they were with other people who went through similar processes. And so they went out as teams to go plant those churches. So there was a strategy that they kind of knew, and they may not have known it in the time, but it was just like, what is that next step? How do we help them and expand them in each and everything? And, you know, but it wasn't the very first time that I talked to them, hey, you are a church planter. And I am going to prepare you to be a church planter. No, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, and God is calling us to be laborers into his harvest. And I don't know how that journey is going to flesh out in your life, but you are called to do that. Like, that's all believers, and we want to come alongside and help you, right? We see certain things in you, and we want to come and help you to discover what that has for you. And so that means some people they went through all the steps that I talked to you about and did not become church planters, you know, and that's okay.
Right.
Right. And I think that, but we focus in too much on trying to get someone that we miss it. And the other thing is that we focus in, and it's usually they got to take the initiative, right? Somebody got to come to us and say, I feel called to the ministry. And then we get hyped and excited instead of just, no, let's just train everybody and let God kind of bring out the calling in their lives. And so that to me is kind of where, how we started, and is just having discipleship leadership program and doing it for every member in our church, and, or, you know, having that ability and pushing everybody to, and then allowing God to discover how that's going to flesh out in their lives.
Yeah. So it's a cross community, strong emphasis, discipleship in community with others. I mean, so, but that's, and let me just say, that's remarkable. And that's, I mean, you write about that in Among Wolves and other places as well. So at what point, because when I think of a residency, so I'm sitting in my office right now, and on Sunday I'm preaching at a church just in my view called College Church, and they have a residency, and it's basically people who will come from maybe they're a student and they'll part of the do their school while they're here. So it's much more, I'm going to be a pastor and I want to be with a group of people going to help train me better. And it's a 2-year residency. What you're describing is, you know, much more fully orbed and robust. So my question is for you, at what point did you say this is a residency? Or are you just in disciple making relationships with these people?
Well, one of the things I think that a discipleship is the call of the church, right? And so, you know, and so oftentimes I say disciple making is not a ministry of the church. Disciple making is the ministry of the church. And residency is just one of the outgrowths of the call to discipleship, right? And so basically, as we got older in our ministry, basically, we started putting a residency as just simply a way to distinguish, right? This is specifically those who are being called to specifically be on a church planting team, or they are the church planter. And so we've done those types of things and we've created, but even in that, we kind of have encouraged people to do it in groups, right? Like, so you and your team member, and then there'll be things that we're now bringing out the pastor and having some very specific things to that pastor that we are trying to pour into. But we believe, and just based upon how we started our church, that it's better to do it in groups, right? And so we're trying to raise up and to train multiple people to go that understands the DNA of the church, that understands the biblical convictions to multiplication and all of those things taking place. And so that's kind of the way we have seen it. But let me ask you, let me kind of turn it around on you, because you know, you have seen lots of churches getting into the residency game. Like, what are you seeing out there in North America, specifically around residencies?
Yeah, so it's, so, and I would say too, it's a shift. I mean, this is, residencies have become a kind of a new, bigger experience. And now particularly, part of this is often connected with the large church. Your church is not a mega church. You had early on built this culture and this multiplying culture. And so I want people to hear that it's not, doesn't have to be a really large church, but I would say most large churches have gotten very much into this. I was just talking to Chris Hodges on Saturday at Church of the Highlands, one of the first, second, third large church in the country, depending on who's counting. And, you know, they've built a whole school now. I mean, so this has become a more common thing. So broadly, what we see with church planting residencies, now that's not the same thing. You know, there's even what we're talking about, you're talking about very church planting focused, but most residencies are not church planting focused. If I mentioned the college church residency, which, by the way, is taking applications, they will send out church planters, but they're also, a lot of them will be preachers or whatever else it may be. So typically a residency looks like a 1-year or 2-year process where somebody either after their theological education, during their theological education, not necessarily before, tend to go through that. And that's the pattern. I'm not saying that's, you know, in your case, that's not what you guys did, and others have done it differently as well. But either way, there tends to be a curriculum. There tends to be a series of expectations. All of those are part of the steps that actually lead through that process. So in answer to your question, what we are seeing is more churches taking on historically the role that in the old days might be like the agency. Think in terms, or the network, think in terms of Stadia would prepare these things. Well, now Stadia is backing that up into significant churches that Stadia is partnering with, and this becomes a key part. Now, the first time I saw this and began to do research on this was when a Leadership Network years ago had sponsored me and a research team to look at best practices in North America. And this, gosh, I don't even remember when Viral Churches was published, like 2007, I'm gonna look it up. And what Viral Churches, by the way, worst name ever in hindsight, but that's another story for another day. But in there, so we did this private research project, and then Warren Bird worked to put all the positive news we found into the book. And so we began to see, and this was published in 2010. So, you know, decade plus ago, what we began to see is that significant church planting churches were taking the lead kind of away from, I don't know if that right term is, or coming alongside, and denominations, for example, the PCA really kind of put all their eggs in. We're going to partner with significant Presbyterian churches, help them with their residencies and get church planters out of there. So we saw this is where the Redeemer connection would be. So the PCA comes alongside that as well. So that, I think, is a very much a growing experience. Let me also mention, for those of you interested, if you want to go to newchurches.com, And in our notes, you can also see our show notes for these episodes as well. There's a primer that actually is really an encouragement. You can download the Residency Quick Start Guide. So we actually have these kind of resources to help you. But that's what I've seen growing. What I'm concerned about, and the reason I'm glad we're having this conversation, Dottie, is that it's getting more and more complicated. You know, the larger churches get, the more complicated they make everything, and you miss some of just the, I mean, you were raising up men and women from the harvest who then would go out on church planting teams, whereas a lot of residencies are people sort of training for ministry. They want to go to a church that's got a lot of good things going on. I'm for that. And they get a church planting DNA. Those are all good expressions of those things. But you keep coming back to residency as discipleship.
Yes.
And I think, so let's think in terms of this. Because when most people think of a residency, they think of a table with some, you know, maybe some women and men sitting around learning from a guru. But residency has some hands-on experience in the church. And so how have your how the people in your residency approach the hands-on part of that? How does that look like?
Well, I mean, what we do right now, we have a 2-year residency. So now we're speaking specifically residency.
Yeah.
And let me just say this, I do think it is a discipleship issue. And yep. I do agree with the statement that you can plant churches and not make any disciples, but ultimately if you make disciples, you will plant churches.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think that this is about discipleship. This is about getting back to the core of disciple making and discipleship. And so, and I think it's really important. Now, when it comes to like, once they are kind of in the finishing school of that discipleship process and we're ready to kind of send them off to go and plant the church, what we do is that we spend basically a 2-year process with them. And the first year is just kind of like, let's spend a year with them and just kind of giving them kind of DNA. And it's not just our DNA, because if they've been within our church, they know the DNA, they can state it, but like kind of taking them of how they make the bread or how they, you know, what's the word, in the room where it happens, if I can say it that way. Yeah.
You're in New York, which is, I'm in New York. If you hear noise in the background, that's because he's in New York. He's not actually in Hamilton, but he is in the city where it happens.
Yes, and I got my New York vibe feeling like too, it. You know. Like but it. So just like in that, so like giving them, like, how did we come up with that? How did we process that? Why do we do that? Why do we emphasize that? So giving them more of the behind the scenes, you know, a lot of times, you know, within our church that we talk about, go and make disciples, go plant, you know, go evangelize, go, like those things. Carry, quit, mobilize. But in there, sort of like, you know, in the iPhone, like if you have an iPhone, basically you see it and then you have like these nice pictures and you just pass the picture and then all, you don't know the operating system and all that's going on behind, you know. But when we go into the residency, year one is like, you got to now own the complexity, right? This is not the Jetsons where you can just press a button and then like churches come out and, you know, disciples are made. There's a lot into this operating system that people don't know about. Let me take you in and do that. You got to own the complexity so that the simplicity is given to your members. So year one is that. Year one is a lot of DNA stuff, behind the scene DNAs, and there's a lot of exposure. We also give them, because you need to understand what it's like to be in children's ministry and operations. Like, and let me give you all the variety of different experiences in year one. Then in that, basically, and as we both see and we confirm, right? It's in that time. And for us, we do all that pre-assessment. For us, right before, at the end of year one, going into year two, we now then get our people assessed. And we send them to our Sin Network assessment. And as they get assessed, then we now we're able to give them more specific feedback. We've had feedback. And if that call is confirmed, then we go in and start giving them more specifically hands-on pastoral experience, where we'll start giving them more teaching responsibilities. They'll be leading different parts. And where in the first one, there was observing, now they're leading. And then we'll take them through. We've mentioned a couple of times the book that I authored, Among Wolves. You know, and so basically there's an 8-month, 8 movements in that book. And so each month I have a group of guys, 8 planting couples that I take through each year. You know, it's called the Boulevard Cohort, and it's in that we bring them in. So they're in with other church planters from different parts of the country. They're there and, you know, and they're learning from each other. They're all in similar stages, all planting in urban context. So we're doing that. And so it's just like, it's kind of like you get the hands-on at Blueprint, but also the church planting because you're interacting with other church planters around the thing as we're preparing them for launch. And so that's kind of how our process goes. And we're teaching them all the way from, you know, in the how to develop a vision from Burton, how to start a family, not just start a church, like some of the pains of church planting, right? How to frame disciple making in a context of a local church, how to call people to ministry, how to minister people, use the way you minister as a tool for discipleship, you know? And so we're just kind of walking through the different movements in that process. And so what we're doing, but before you ask a follow-up question, I do have a question for you, because as you are going around, you know, and a lot of times you say is that we make it more complex, yeah, the bigger that we get, yeah, right? And we both know that it's not just about big churches that are able to, you know, have residencies, but smaller churches, you know, also have residencies as well. Talk, you know, because we oftentimes can just really get away from it. Oh, I got to be big, right? I got to be big. So what would you recommend for the smaller churches that don't feel like they have the resources in order to pull something like this off?
Yeah. And this is kind of a little bit of the journey that I had at the last church. Now, again, I'm now, you know, the interim pastor that goes to all the interim pastors thing. But before I moved to Chicago, I planted a church in Nashville. The team and I planted a church in Nashville. And we, as I've mentioned past episodes, first Sunday we took up an offering, said it was going to be for our new churches. We're going to be involved in church plants. And so I was a volunteer. So I had a full-time job at Lifeway. I stepped into this unpaid volunteer, had a limited number of hours that I could do. And I actually said, there are basically four things I can do. And in fact, somebody once wrote a blog post saying, Ed Stetzer says only four things a pastor could do. I said, no, an unpaid volunteer pastor who's full-time at another job has to limit what that pastor can do. So I had four things. And, you know, I was preaching. I met with the elders and staff. Anyway, but one of the four, when I led a small group in my home, if you care what the four are, they were you know, preaching, meeting with leadership, leading a small group in my home. I wanted to be reaching my neighbors for Christ, and leading our pastoral apprentice team. Now, people talk about apprentices and residencies. They're not 100% the same. People go back and forth. So we had started the church. We were a little over 100, and we started meeting with our pastoral apprentice team. And I would meet them weekly. And there was they all, you know, one of them was on staff of the church. Two of them had other jobs. So they all had different roles. And basically, we started it with that. We didn't have a super big curriculum. One of them was actually a student at a, you know, an online seminary. The other was on staff of our church. And then the other was a lay person in our church. So what it meant was I met with them weekly. And something you kind of alluded to earlier is I gave them opportunities. So each of them preached. There were three of them. Each of them preached. We all discussed and evaluated afterwards. Each of them were assigned to start an evangelistic small group in their neighborhood. We discussed and evaluated the process along. So it can be complex. You know, like we have a high level of complexity where there's a curriculum, maybe a partnership. You know, we college grad school, we partner with churches to do things like this. Or it can be as simple as a bivocational pastor. You know, I hate to use that term to describe Ed Stetzer, because I was, you know, whatever I'm doing was Christian ministry, but another, you know, volunteer pastor meeting once a week. And so let me just say to people too, that if you would like to take that next step, so we're starting residency, go over, it's linked in the show notes, go to nam.net/residencies and go to the residency quick start guide. That's what it's called. Watch a video. You can actually see Dahati and Clint Clifton unpack some of the best practices for starting residencies. And again, you'll find these at nam.net/residencies. And we have actually gone too long, Dahati Lewis, but we're friends. We like having these conversations. So, but we need to wrap it up. Let me remind everybody that if you are, wherever you downloaded this, it needs a review, because that helps us get the word out. This is all free. And now with the partnership we have with Send Network, all the resources at newchurches.com are free. That's for wherever you are. If you're a Great Commission church planter, we want to bless you with those resources to show and share the love of Jesus in your community. So check it all out there. And as always, leave that hopefully good review. If you can leave a bad review, leave it at somebody else's podcast. But if you got a good review, you can leave it at ours. Thanks, Dahati, for joining me. And thanks, everybody, for listening to the newchurches.com podcast.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you liked what you heard, take a minute to rate and review us, or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources and to participate in the Church Planning Masterclass, visit newchurches.com.